Chapter 14. He stopped then, and studied a minute laying for an effect I noted perfectly well. Then he turned off like he was going to leave the platform, and says, kind of lazy and indifferent. Well, I believe that is all. Why, you never heard such a howl. And it come from the whole house. What was it you seen him do? Stay where you are, you little devil. You think you are going to work a body up till his mouth's a-watering and stop there? What was it he done? That was it, you see, he just done it to get an effect. You couldn't a pulled him off of that platform with a yoke of oxen. Oh, it wasn't anything much, he says. Seen him looking a little excited, when he found Uncle Silas was actually fixing to hang himself for a murder that weren't ever done. And he got more and more nervous and worried, I watching him sharp, but not seeming to look at him, and all of a sudden his hands begun to work and fidget, and pretty soon his left crept up, and his finger drawed across on his cheek, and then I had him. Well, then they ripped and howled and stomped, and clapped their hands till Tom Sawyer was that proud and happy he didn't know what to do with himself. And then the judge he looked down over his pulpit and says, my boy, did you see all the various details of this strange conspiracy and tragedy that you've been describing? No, Your Honor, I didn't see any of them. Didn't see any of them? Why, you've told the whole history straight through, just the same, as if you'd seen it with your eyes. How did you manage that? Tom says, kind of easy and comfortable. Oh, just noticing the evidence and piecing this and that together, Your Honor. Just an ordinary little bit of detective work. Anybody could a done it. Nothing of the kind. Not two in a million could a done it. You are a very remarkable boy. Then they let go and give Tom another smashing round, and he wouldn't a sold out for a silver mine. Then the judge says, but are you certain you've got this curious history straight? Perfectly, Your Honor. Here is Brace Dunlop, let him deny his share of it, if he wants to take the chance, I'll engage to make him wish he hadn't said anything. Well, you see he's pretty quiet. And his brother's pretty quiet, and them four witnesses, that lied so, and got paid for it, they're pretty quiet. And as for Uncle Silas, it ain't any use for him to put in his oar, I wouldn't believe him under oath. Well, sir, that fairly made them shout. And even the judge he let go and laughed. Tom he was just feeling like a rainbow. When they was done laughing he looks up at the judge and says, Your Honor, there's a thief in this house. A thief? Yes, sir. And he's got them $12,000 demons on him. By gracious, but it made a stir. Everybody went shouting. Which is him? Which is him? Pint him out. And the judge says, point him out, my lad. Sheriff, you will arrest him. Which one is it? Tom says, this late dead man here, Jupiter Dunlop. Then there was another thundering let go of astonishment and excitement. But Jupiter, which was astonished enough before, was just fairly putrefied with astonishment this time. And he spoke up, about half crying, and says, now that's a lie. Your Honor, it ain't fair. I'm plenty bad enough without that. I done the other things, Brace he put me up to it, and persuaded me, and promised he'd make me rich, someday, and I done it, and I'm sorry I done it, and I wished I hadn't, but I ain't stole no demons, and I ain't got no demons. I wished I may never stir, if it ain't so. The sheriff can search me and see. Tom says, Your Honor, it wasn't right to call him a thief. And I let up on that a little. He did steal the demons, but he didn't know it. He stole them from his brother Jake, when he was laying dead, after Jake had stole them from the other thieves. But Jupiter didn't know he was stealing them, and he's been swelling around here with them a month. Yes, sir, $12,000 worth of demons on him, all that riches, and going around here every day just like a poor man. Yes, Your Honor, he's got them on him now. The judge spoke up and says, search him, Sheriff. Well, sir, the sheriff he ransacked him high and low, and everywhere. Searched his hat, socks, seams, boots, everything, and Tommy stood there quiet, laying for another of them effects of hissing. Finally the sheriff he give it up, and everybody looked disappointed, and Jupiter says, "There, now. What did I tell you?" And the judge says, "It appears you were mistaken this time, my boy." Then Tom took an attitude, and led on to be studying with all his might, and scratching his head. Then all of a sudden he glanced up chipper, and says, "Oh, now I've got it. I'd forgot." Which was a lie, and I knowed it. Then he says, "Will somebody be good enough to lend me a little small screwdriver? There was one in your brother's handbag that you smouched, Jupiter. But I reckon you didn't fetch it with you." "No, I didn't. I didn't want it, and I give it away." "That's because you didn't know what it was for." Jupiter had his boots on again, by now, and when the thing Tom wanted was passed over the people's heads till it got to him, he says to Jupiter, "Put up your foot on this chair." And he kneeled down and begun to unscrew the heel plate, everybody watching. And when he got that big diamond out of that boot heel, and held it up, and let it flash, and blaze and squirt sunlight ever which away, it just took everybody's breath. And Jupiter he looked so sick and sorry you never see the like of it. And when Tom held up the other diamond he looked sorrier than ever. Land! He was thinking how he would a skipped out, and been rich, and independent in a foreign land, if he'd only had the luck to guess what the screwdriver was in the carpet bag for. Well, it was a most exciting time, take it all around, and Tom got cords of glory. The judge took the diamonds, and stood up in his pulpit, and cleared his throat, and shoved his spectacles back on his head, and says, "I'll keep them, and notify the owners, and when they send for them, it will be a real pleasure to me to hand you the $2,000, for you've earned the money, yes, and you've earned the deepest and most sincerest thanks of this community besides, for lifting a wronged and innocent family out of ruin and shame, and saving a good and honorable man from a felon's death, and for exposing to infamy and the punishment of the law cruel and odious scoundrel and his miserable creatures." Well, sir, if there had been a brass band to bust out some music then, it would a been just the perfectest thing I ever see, and Tom Sawyer he said the same. Then the sheriff he nabbed Brace Dunlap and his crowd, and by next month the judge had them up for trial, and jailed the whole lot. And everybody crowded back to Uncle Silas's little old church, and was ever so loving and kind to him and the family, and couldn't do enough for them. And Uncle Silas he preached them the blamedest, jumbledest, idiotic sermons you ever struck, and would tangle you up so you couldn't find your way home in daylight. But the people never let on but what they thought it was the clearest and brightest and elegantest sermons that ever was. And they would sit there and cry, for love and pity. But, by George, they give me the Jim Jams, and the Fantods and caked up what brains I had, and turned them solid. But by they loved the old man's intellects back into him again, and he was as sound in his skull as ever he was, which ain't no flattery, I reckon. And so the whole family was as happy as birds, and nobody could be gratifuler and lovinger than what they was to Tom Sawyer, and the same to me, though I hadn't done nothing. And when the $2,000 come, Tom give half of it to me, and never told anybody so, which didn't surprise me, because I knowed him. End of Tom Sawyer, Detective. SAWY 3 by Gutenberg Edition.